guest today is Sean Wildermuth. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm great. Glad to be here in Chicago.
Me too.
It's not as windy as they told me it would be.
It is a windy city. Stick around a few
They've
days.
Told me. It's going to be very windy.
You're from Atlanta, right?
I'm from Atlanta. A lot of my family's actually from here in Illinois, over in the Quad Cities, which is nowhere near Chicago, but...
Are there four cities in the Quad Cities? Is that why it's
called? There's actually five cities.
What are they?
Sometimes it's called Quint Cities, but it's Moline, East Moline, so you get two Molines, Rock Island, and Davenport.
So one of those is in Iowa.
Got it. Correct. Okay. Right on the river.
You're not spending much time in Atlanta these days, are you?
No, but that's hopefully going to finally change. me and my wife, Risa, bought a house and we decided we'd like to live in one place so after the road trip's over, we're going to settle in a little.
Let's talk about the road trip. What is it?
So the Hello World road trip is 25 cities and in a handful of countries, but mostly North America. We're going around and interviewing a tech star in each city about how they got started. The Hello World podcast, which I've been doing for about 3 years, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in, you know, sort of that first computer, that first job, that first code experience, seeing how different people got started. I think a lot of people, especially when they see speakers or authors or MVPs, those sorts of people, they think they sort of came out of the womb as a, you know, as someone who was confident and knew their technology of choice, whatever they were interested in.
Definitely,
and it's nice.
Not true of me. I'll tell that story later.
You will. We're interviewing you in about an hour. And
I'll give you a little preview. I started relatively late in life in this career.
Nice. Yeah. It's interesting, the mix. You know, some people have the sort of traditional first computer, and then they go to college, and then they leave college and get their job. And then we have some people who, you know, spent 10 years in a rock band and then became a technologist or fighter pilots or whatever it is. The stories of struggle to me are most interesting.
It was Rick Stroll in the rock band.
It was Rick.
I heard that.
It was
a
Rick.
Great story.
Yeah. I think he still wants to be a rock star, but
rock star.
Now he's
a
developer rock star, I think.
He is.
Or at least a windsurfer. Yeah, so it's me and my wife got married a little over 2 years ago, and the plan was to sell everything we own and to spend a year on the road, because I do Pluralsight videos and some remote consulting. Mm-hmm. I can work pretty much everywhere. So we spent a year traveling around the world, which was awesome. And our plan was, when we got home, we were going to do this tour of the U.S. to make sure everyone know that I was still around. And as an excuse to record
some
podcasts.
You were
going to
do that a year ago.
Yeah, that was supposed to be last June that we were going to start it. But we were in Thailand, and I broke my shoulder really bad.
Oh, man.
It actually happened 1 year and 1 day into the trip, and we had originally planned to be on the road for 1 year, so I took it as sort of a sign it was time to go home. So we went home, postponed this until the winter, and we started in February. We did 5 weeks in February of sort of the first half, most of the West Coast and South, while the weather was still bad.
Right.
And then we came back and we did most of the East Coast up into Canada, and now we're in the Midwest.
How many times have you been home during that time?
Only once. We went home for 5 weeks in the middle of it. So we've now been on the road, this second piece of it, for about 5.5 weeks. We'll be home in, I think, 10 days, finally.
Fine. And you've bought a house back home.
We have.
It's sitting there empty waiting for you.
Yes, pretty much. And we bought it just before we went on the road trip, so we have all these ideas of things we need to do.
Right.
As you do when you buy a house, there's 4 million little
tasks. I remember
those
days. I no longer own a house, I'm happy to say.
I'm sure you are.
So along the way, you're not just traveling, you're talking with technologists and finding out about what they're doing. What are you guys talking about?
As we're traveling around, the events we're doing in each city are half a live podcast, like we're going to do with you tonight, and that's where we're getting somebody's story. Mm-hmm. Recently, we've had people like Miguel de Acasa. We've had Scott Guthrie. Yeah, he has a great story. John Peterson, you know, lots of great people. Sure. And we're really interested in that part of the story. And sort of the second half of the night is talking about ASP.NET Core, which I've been involved in for about a year, and I've got a Pluralsight course on it. And
so you're going to give a technical presentation then,
yeah,
in the second half. Okay.
Yeah. sort of, you know, from the ground up, because it's so new still, trying to get people sort of interested in what it is and why it exists and why it's so different from what Microsoft has done up to now. And
that might be a good topic for another podcast.
Absolutely.
But I do know that you're doing a Pluralsight course, or you've done a Pluralsight course already on ASP.NET Core.
Yeah, it's been out for probably 5 or 6 months now. And, and we update it every once in a while as Microsoft updates their bits.
It's still in flux.
It's always in flux, which
we're,
is,
we're
you
back,
know.
We're back to XML on the config files. I think that's the...
I don't think so.
They're not?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, maybe I heard wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, don't listen to me.
Hopefully
listen
not.
To Sean.
Yeah, there's a little of both, but... yeah, that's pretty contentious. But, you know, this is mostly an excuse for us to finally get to see the country. Yeah, there's a lot of cities that, you know, even though I've traveled for conferences and things like that for many years now, there's a lot of cities I've been to but I've never visited, you know, where I've, like, this is a really nice hotel room and conference center.
That's no way to say
that. Yeah, no. So we've tried... We're spending 3 or 4 days in each city, so that doesn't give you a lot of time, but we kind of pick and choose the things we want to see in each city. Go see, you know, Independence Hall in Philly, go up the Empire State Building in New York, or go see a show in New York. Same here in Chicago. We're going to go to the Science and Industry Museum tomorrow. Which is, I've heard great things about.
I haven't been for a long time, but I remember it fondly.
Yeah, it should be fun. And so it's an excuse because we love to travel, and at some point we're going to have to stop and settle down and be adults again.
You'll come back to some of your favorite spots.
Absolutely.
Like, is there any place that's caught your eye? You say we have to get back there.
San Francisco was just amazing. We really liked San Francisco. Not a big surprise there, probably for most people. I'm trying to think of where else I'd like definitely go back. Montreal. It's just
I've
a beautiful city.
And it was 30 below when I was there. So.
That's
I love
not
the old
when
part
to
of
go.
The city, though, with the cobblestones.
Yeah, it's just, it's very old world. I really enjoyed that. We during the middle of the trip, we had a few dates because of a conference in Europe, and we had never been to Spain before. And we really liked Barcelona. Of all the times a tech ed was in Barcelona, I was never picked as a speaker. So we thought, if they're not going to pick us for Barcelona, we're going to have to go one day.
Tell me about some of the interviews you've done. This is you've got Miguel de Acasa, Scott Guthrie, and me, which is flattering to be even mentioned. That
oh, that's very sweet.
You've got some great speakers. What's some of the interesting stories you've heard from these guys?
There's a lot of interesting pieces. In a few weeks, we'll have Miguel's story come out, which is. His story is much more about open source and Microsoft, and obviously we interviewed him right after the acquisition, maybe 3 weeks. In fact, he had his blue badge, but it wouldn't open any of the buildings in Boston.
So for those that haven't heard anything, that was Miguel was the owner of Xamarin, and now Xamarin was purchased by Microsoft, so now he works for Microsoft.
No, he works for Microsoft. We interviewed John Peterson in Philly, which was interesting because he... those who don't know John.
Were you able to bring him out of his shell?
Yeah, he's very shy.
He's a lawyer. he talks a lot. He's a good guy. I like John.
He's a good guy. But it's interesting his sort of development, then lawyer, now developer, lawyer, or lawyer, developer, whatever. So his was a very interesting story. We also interviewed... now my mind's going blank on Bill's last name.
Wagner?
Bill Wagner, yeah. We interviewed him when we were in Barcelona, which is kind of odd to.
Yeah, Bill used to live just a few miles from me in Michigan.
Yeah.
He just moved
to Maine.
I think days ago, last week maybe.
Very briefly. I mean, just very recently. And he's got such a great sense about the world, and he's doing a lot of the work with Richard Campbell's Humanitarian Toolbox, which I've contributed a little to, but certainly not a full-time contributor or anything. But I really believe in what they're doing. And the story I get from most of the people that have been on the podcast that I think is important is that of passion.
Yeah.
Now, some of the people started with sort of the typical high school, college, first job experience, but they were, you know, excited about it. So many of them did work while they were in high school and college even. Or you have some people that came straight out of high school or started their own business when they were 15 and did it. And then you have sort of the people that had ideas about other things they wanted to do first, and then they fell into, you know, into software development. The first episode we did on the road, Jim Woolley, mm-hmm. he got his degrees in music education.
I did not know that.
And he did he can play church organ more amazingly with takes hands and feet, which I didn't know at the time, than anyone I know. And he'll be embarrassed for me to mention how good of a Guitar Hero player he is, but it's pretty crazy.
There's quite a few musicians. Carl Franklin is a very good guitarist.
Great guitarist.
I don't know if you know Mike Amundsen. He was a music major in
college. I didn't know that.
Really nice guy. And kind of got into this career.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, sort of touched it or sort of liked it, but had this other, you know, Jim's story is interesting because he realized that there were all these things that weren't about teaching that he had to do to be a music teacher.
Ah.
And that sort of went, okay, maybe I'll do this other passion I have. And,
interesting.
Yeah. To me, you know, a lot of these people that we interviewed, a lot of people know their names now and, you know, mm-hmm. somewhat famous in our tiny little community. And a lot of people just think that they have some special ability, that they rolled out of college and became a VP someplace, or that they were, you know, gifted from the beginning. And so the thing I take from a lot of the stories are sort of the humble beginnings of everybody, that anyone listening to the podcast can learn sort of why people made decisions, the importance of being sort of honest and earnest about your career. So being honest about not knowing things, and then that's how you learn things, and not sort of suffering arrogance, how to work with other people. That one of the things I'm passionate about is this idea that the software development business, when I got into it because I thought I could be left alone, and I was very much an introvert, which you can't really tell anymore, but as a child I was certainly an introvert. And so I thought it was this very solitary me and the computer sort of thing. But the reality is I think 60 or 70% of the work is dealing with people, actually writing down code and all that.
It depends on what your role is, but you'll definitely do better if you can talk to people, if you can communicate.
Absolutely. You know, I think everyone at some point has to gather requirements or validate mm-hmm. ideas, or even, you know, just go through UX testing or whatever the thing is that is going to touch your part. And that almost always involves people, because that's who we're writing software for the most part, except if you're an IoT developer, then you can go sit with your BlackBerry in a room, Raspberry Pi in a room, and do what you need to do.
I like what you said about the humility that it takes to admit what you don't know and to ask questions. And I think I've been in part of this community a long time, going to conferences and speaking conferences, and I've always been struck by how open the speakers are to sticking around, answering questions. It's rare that you'll find somebody that just wants to come and give a talk and rush off and doesn't have time for the audience afterwards.
Absolutely.
It's extremely rare.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a point in my career when I started working with the development mentor who was big in training at mm-hmm. the time. And I had to make this choice because I was sort of the bright guy in the company in Boston where I was living at the time. And I was going to go to development mentor and not be the brightest guy in the room anymore. And, mm-hmm. and was I willing to take sort of that ego hit to become a better developer? Right. And I think there's a lot of moments in software development for almost any developer that at some point they have to take that risk, you know, whether it's starting to speak or whether it's taking leadership positions or changing technologies. There are these decisions that we all make. And to me, that's really interesting in overcoming the fear of that.
That's generally the best choices to, if you want to improve yourself, to not be the smartest guy in the room.
Absolutely.
Personally, I've never actually had that choice. There's only, for example, right now there's only two people in the room, and I'm not the smartest guy in the room. So.
That's funny.
And I'm okay with that. I'm very comfortable with that.
Well, it was, I came out of it with the Scott Hanselman talks about it a lot, the imposter syndrome, because I don't have a computer degree or any of that. And so when I talk to some people, I still, you know, after all these years, I'm like, do I really know what they're talking about? Okay, maybe I don't need to know. I can admit that I, you know, don't know things. There was one of the things I learned when I was doing technical interviews for consulting companies, was all I wanted the interviewee to do was say, I don't know, at some point. Because if they're unwilling to do that, they're toxic, right?
Interesting.
They're trying to hide behind bluff, 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 bluff. Hmm. You know, because I don't care who you are, there are things that you don't know. The first time I asked Chris Sells a question when I was working with him, and he went, I don't know, let's figure it out. I was like, what do you mean? You wrote the book and you do talks? This is stuff you know. He goes, no, it's stuff I know how to understand.
It's funny you mentioned Chris, because I actually have a T-shirt at home with a picture of you and a picture of Chris on it. I meant to bring it today and I forgot.
Oh, wow.
And there's another person there. I have no idea who the third person is. But they're all book authors.
T-shirt. Okay. Yeah, I remember there was that one, probably from Addison Wesley.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I remember now.
I should have brought it so you could tell me who that third person is.
That's funny. Mike, I think I know who the third author is. I think it's the XAML book that Chris did, or the WinForms book. I don't remember which. And I did an appendix on Silverlight, I think, at the time.
The title of the book, I don't think, is on the shirt.
Oh, okay.
It just says something like Rockstar authors or something.
Oh,
like
wow.
I forget.
Wow. Back in those days.
So I'd be happy to know that I am sleeping with a T-shirt of you and Chris.
I don't know how I feel about
every
that.
Every once in a while. I know it's a little bit creepy, but it's the truth. I feel comfortable now confessing this.
I'd feel better if you were washing your car with it for some reason.
Eventually it'll move into the car wash rack.
That's funny.
Right now it's my pajamas.
Awesome.
And so you got a couple more. This is like the third...
This
from
is,
the end, right?
Yeah.
We're done with this tour.
After this, we have St. Louis, and then we had rescheduled Denver because we got snowed out of Denver earlier. So Juliet gets to be our last interviewee,
great.
So it's a nice send-off because she was one of the first people we contacted to be on the road trip, and she's been just great in helping us out. And she ends up being the last person.
How long are you doing the editing yourself, or are you sending that to somebody else?
No, we do really minimal editing on the on the podcast. So I'll go in and look for, you know, little blips or blanks. But for the most part, it's as you hear it.
And they're not coming out the next day. They're still
They come out about once every week, sometimes every 2 weeks, depending on the travel schedule, but usually every week. And we're probably six shows behind. So the one that released today was the one we did this week was
so
the one we did in D.C.
All right. Who was that?
That was G. Andrew Duffy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dev Hammer. Yeah.
I think what he preferred to be called. I loved his story because I've known him for probably a decade, and I had no idea he was in theater, and as soon as he said it, I was like, "Oh yeah, of course you were in theater."
He's still
did everything about Now, as soon as he said it, it like oh okay, yeah. All those archetypes just fell into place, and now I can see it all.
Excellent. So this we'll record one. You and I record one today, and we'd expect about 6 weeks from now.
About 6 weeks.
It'll get to the public.
Yeah, that's because one of the interesting things we're trying to do with the podcast is we're only doing 100 episodes.
Ah, and where are you now?
We released 69 this week, so we're heading down. By the time we finish the road trip, we'll have about 78 in the can, and the last episode will be an episode that was recorded in Vancouver, where Richard Campbell asked me all those questions I've asked everyone else 99
times.
Oh,
you've already got a time capsule of episode 100 ready.
So we had a little flub in Vancouver, so we decided. Richard Campbell is such a good interviewer.
I'll agree.
Yeah, having him interview me was just perfect. So we're going to end it with my story and put a cap on it because at some point.
And then maybe another podcast after.
Maybe a podcast, or I have some other ideas we might be sharing soon about what we're going to do next. But we'll certainly be doing something once we get the 100 episodes done. But we're still playing with those ideas.
I'm looking forward to tonight.
Absolutely.
Sean, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Technology friends are people that can give you pointers.